Welcome to After Cana, a Ferris Love podcast dedicated to exploring the vocation of marriage. In each episode, we bring you stories, advice, and insights from experts and seasoned couples to help guide you in your journey, whether you're dating, engaged, or newly married. I'm your host, Gabby Quinlan, and today I wanted to talk about purity. As a young married woman, having gone through all the stages of dating, engagement, and getting married, I understand and I completely relate to purity struggles in relationships. It can be really, really challenging to remain chaste and keep your relationship centered on God when you feel really passionately about someone. And so I thought that that would be a really good topic to ask marriage prep director at St. Mary's Catholic Center in College Station, Kevin Pesek, in our last episode of After Cana. I spoke with him about this topic, and he gave some excellent insights that he's gleaned from his work in his personal life as well. So I'll let Kevin speak for himself, but I really love how he points to purity struggles as an opportunity for unity within a couple rather than divisiveness, which is a tendency for a lot of people, I think. It definitely was for my husband and I when we were engaged and really struggling with this. So again, I'll let him speak for himself. But I first wanted to share a couple words from the amazing Fulton Sheen. This is from Three to Get Married. If you haven't read it and you're engaged, definitely it's something you can read with your fiance. Even if you're single or just dating, it's a really, really powerful book filled with just a lot of truth about sexuality, relationships, and how to keep God as the focus of your courtship relationship in general. So I will share a few words from Fulton Sheen and then offer you Kevin's advice on purity struggles in dating. So this is an excerpt from chapter 8 of 3 to Get Married. The chapter title is Purity, Reverence for Mystery. And I'm going to jump around a little bit, but it all should come together and make sense. Purity at times does appear to be negative because it has to resist so many attacks upon it. Too often, those who are its greatest defenders present it to the young as if it were holy repression. Their purity themes strike two notes: avoid what is impure and imitate the Blessed Mother. The first makes the young wonder why their instinct of procreation should be so strong if it has evil associated with it. The second gives no explanation of how the Blessed Mother is to be imitated. The ideal is so high and abstract as to seem impractical to the young. But as pure water is more than the absence of impurities, as a pure diamond is more than the absence of carbon, and as pure food is more than the absence of poison, so purity is more than the absence of voluptuousness. To those awaiting marriage, purity is the same in essence, the keeping of the seed in the granary until God sends the springtime. No one would plant flowers in a wintry December. He would wait on God's will for the season, however great his impatience. Purity is not something peculiar to the unmarried alone, but to the married, in the sense that both hold themselves in readiness to do God's will and to fulfill his mystery. The purity in each differs to the extent that the will of God is fulfilled either directly or indirectly through the intermediary of another human. Purity is the merging of a great desire and passion into a cosmology. It never isolates the passion from the divine plan for the entire universe. Purity in the young, destined for marriage, begins by being universal and develops by being particular. It is first on the periphery of the circle and then at the center. It begins by awaiting God's will in general, and then through acquaintance and courtship, sees that will focused on one individual. Once it is brought back to great centrality in the union of two and the one flesh, it then pays back creation by expanding from the center to the circumference, from the particular to the universal by the begetting of the family. But in souls consecrated to God, purity is never focused on a particular person, but is a constant tendency to universality by loving and praying for all men as children of God. So I hope that that gives you a little bit of context for Kevin's advice and just some food for thought as you discern marriage and maybe sit and listen to this with your fiance or your spouse. I hope this helps. And I just want you to know, if you are struggling with purity in your relationship or even just by yourself, you are so not alone. And there is always hope. There's always redemption. There's always healing in God's love. So go back to the well, find hope in the sacraments, go to confession often. And yeah, you are not alone. God loves you. So anyway, without further ado, here is Kevin Pesek on purity challenges in dating. Purity is a huge challenge for young Catholics, for Catholics in general. What would your advice be to a couple who's struggling with purity, especially in engagement? I feel like that is a really difficult period.
Yeah, the closer you get to finishing the race, the more you want to finish the race.
Yep.
At least with my experience and is the experience, I think, for so many couples, right? Like, the finish line is there. And again, it's such a good thing and there's an attractiveness about it. And yeah, it's a question of timing, right? So I think for an engaged couple that's struggling with purity, to really view it, right, as an opportunity for unity, right? Mm-hmm. One of the devil's biggest tactics, right, is to divide.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very easy when you're engaged, like, well, you shouldn't have worn that, or you shouldn't have put your hand there, or you should. And again, very much accusing, like, oh, it's your fault. And no, you're taking joint responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. We are co-responsible for our purity and really holding each other accountable for that. Right. So like if we slip up, okay, we're going to go to confession together.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to sit in line and we're going to allow this to actually unite us. Right. This cross, this suffering that we're enduring. Right. We're going to bear it together. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not going to make you bear it because you shouldn't, you know, whatever. Like, you know, it's not always fun. One person has to play traffic cop, you know? Yeah. So really allowing, again, to do that together, I think is so important. And I think it's also a temptation to kind of reduce this is a weird thing to say, the success of your relationship or the holiness of your relationship to reduce it to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Are we pure or not? And that's kind of the referendum on our relationship. And again, it's one of my favorite random quotes from Star Wars is, and no one's going to get this probably, but only a Sith speaks in absolutes, you know, like a reductionism of like, well, this is everything.
Good or bad.
It's either we're going to heaven or we're going to hell, right? Yeah. God either loves us or he doesn't, or we love him or we don't. And I think the devil loves to kind of put us into this absolute, this binary, you know, and get us to discourage us. Right. This is the only thing that God sees. This is the only thing that you're able to focus on. And anything else good in our relationship, we don't even think about.
Right.
It's just this thing. Right. And we end up kind of focusing on this sin instead of in all the ways we're called to love. Right. Because again, that's the other danger with purity is like, okay, we can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. Mm-hmm. And Jesus rarely tells us the things we can't do. Jesus tells us the things we should do. Right. True. His main message is not avoid sin, avoid sin, avoid sin. Jesus's message is to go into love.
Yeah.
So even to recognize for an engaged couple, like, are we actually striving to love or are we actually just striving to avoid sin? Because one of those is, let me tell you, is a lot more joy filled than the other one.
Very true.
To focus on saying yes to the Lord instead of just saying no to all of these things. And that's why I think a big antidote for couples that are struggling with purity is actually to serve others, is actually to say yes to love and to love together. Right. Yeah. To love in a very powerful way outside of yourself. Again, struggles with purity tend to be rooted in selfishness. Right. What do I want? What feels good for me? You know, I want to do this. And when you serve others, you go outside of yourself. You actually die to yourself. And it kind of creates this habit of not what is easiest for me or convenient for me or feels the best for me, but that this is actually the best way for me to express my love for others.
Yeah.
Right. In a way that's, again, outside of myself, that doesn't feel good. Because, I mean, if we're being honest, right, like being impure, I guess, or whatever you want to say, or again, being sexually active, it's probably never going to feel temporally better, you know, in the moment.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for me.
Right.
And kind of educating myself or teaching myself that purity is, again, is much more than that. Right.
Sure.
It's about, and even in marriage, right, it's about dying to self.
Yeah.
Kind of keeping purity in its proper context, right? It'd be really weird if you wanted to marry someone just so you wouldn't feel bad about being sexually active. Like, that'd be really, really weird. Like, that's not why you marry somebody,
yeah,
right? And that's
you're missing the mark completely.
And that's also not what your marriage is reduced to,
right?
Right? You got to see that, the quality of your sex life or how often we have sex, and that's going to determine how much we're in love. And not been my experience.
Yeah,
right. It's an important part of my marriage, but I can't reduce it to that.
Right. And there are so many seasons in a lifelong marriage of, you know, abstinence, health struggles, you know, you just never know what life's going to throw at you. Mm-hmm. So putting in the practice while you're engaged of serving others, dying to self, understanding that that purity is really saying yes to something better, you know, yes to be unselfish. That'll carry through your marriage, you know, and make those moments where you can't have sex still very intimate and still very
loving.
Loving. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You definitely need that. If you enjoyed this episode of After Cana, share it with a friend, leave a review, or head to the Ferris Love website for more resources on building relationships and families of faith.